Hi all, it's wonderful to be with you. Welcome to my shed, which is where I work now, at my desk here. And it's lovely to be with you on this Ascension Day. I'm going to be talking about the next bit of Revelation, where Jesus is talking to the churches in Thyatira. So let's just have some quiet before we begin. So over the last couple of weeks, I have been diving into the Psalms, actually, as they express so well the mixed bag of emotions, grief and rawness of the change and the disruption that we're adapting to right now. And if we squint a little bit at Psalm 4, it looks a little bit like the letter to Thyatira. In showing a conversation between faithfulness and the failings of the people and the dwelling place, the safe home we're being offered in the hands of our loving Father. And I read this to my mum a number of times last week as she had been suffering in the midst of coronavirus taking hold of her body, and the safety and the peace of God was bigger than our current circumstances. He is there and he fights for us on all sides when we are unable. So a bit of Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. And in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. So today's message from the Psalms and that for Thyatira in the book of Revelation can be applied to us today. Let's search our hearts for life's loving motive and be silent. Let's offer ourselves up and trust in the Lord. His Spirit is with us. So let's go back to about 95 AD, and the church was about 60 years old, and its growth had been huge with the radical message of the gospel spreading like wildfire. Rome didn't like it, and about 45,000 Christians had been killed by crucifixion, burned to death and the like. Jesus knows exactly where we are, and he wants us to know that despite all the trials, he stands in our midst as a loving saviour. He is revealing our compromise and our indifference, and he's calling us to turn from our fixations and look back at our first love. I feel like at the moment falling flat on my face at this point, in submission and in hope. Take my shoes off, I have taken them off. Claim the holy ground that lies waiting and let go of all the old stuff so that he can do a new work in this time as I give up all the nonsense of my life and turn to learn to be loved afresh. Do I come to the church to entertain, to be entertained, soothed or to be confronted and challenged to ride with Jesus deeper into relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit? Are we willing to ride with him into that gathering? Is there anything that makes you hesitate to believe that God is delighted and pleased in you? So he brings us to a new place, under the very feathers of his wing, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us as we gather closer. We realise that he is all we can really rely on. So Revelations is a book of symbols, and every symbol would have been recognised by people in the first century. It was written for them as they struggled to work out what a church might be. And I think we grapple with the same today. What does the Church of Jesus Christ look like? So let's open ourselves to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Yield ourselves. So, shoes off to remind us that we walk on holy ground. I'm going to be lying flat on my stomach later to see if a new posture of helplessness leads me to hear the Son of God afresh. I will give my all to him. I do give my all to him. These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance. So let's go to Thyatira, lying along the valley which connects Hermas and the Caicus rivers. It's a railway valley today. Thyatira was the gateway to Pergamum, the capital of the province. Thyatira was a commercial town and it was punching above its size. The longest of the letters from Jesus is written to the smallest of the seven cities. I wonder why. In the historical record, there is no evidence that Christians here suffered any significant persecution. So perhaps they were prioritising business and politics over faith. Why were people not being disturbed here? Each trade had their own patron deity from the many Greek and the Roman gods. So for wool, leather, linen, bronze, dyes, potters, bakers and slave dealers. Even today, this now Turkish town is the centre for trade in the region, with tobacco, olive oil and bricks being the powerhouse for success for this area. So Jesus begins today's letter by emphasising his deity. It would have been obvious to the people at the time. To be a son of a thing meant you had the nature of that thing. So to be a son of a sorceress meant you had the nature of a sorceress. To be the son of thunder meant you had a nature of thunder. And so he calls himself the Son of God. And he's saying that he has the divine nature. The nature of God resides in him. And Jesus is taking no prisoners with that introduction. He has eyes of blazing fire. He can burn through you with his loving gaze. He can see your motivation, your substance, your character, your concerns, your heartache. He sees the whole story of our lives and he sees the desires of our hearts. His feet are like burnished bronze, echoing the words from Old Testament Daniel. Bronze was the strongest known metal in the ancient world, and the traders knew well the value to the gods of industry of bronze. So the symbolism is thick. Jesus' feet were precious and steadfast, solid and pure, worthy of praise. Jesus is positioned above all that the city folk found important. And he continues, I know your deeds. Jesus sees you and he celebrates. He finds importance in what you are doing that others might not recognise. And he knew that they were growing in love, in service and faith, in perseverance. And this was a community that was blossoming and Jesus celebrates their growth. And they had these four essential qualities. And it's not a bad list for our time in quarantine. I wonder how I should aim for love and faith and service and perseverance. I definitely need to learn what perseverance is in this time, as I share 12 or 13 hours a day with two beautiful but brimming with life children. And I can just hear him saying, "Persevere, Amy. Keep going deeper into me and all is well." Jesus affirms them before he goes on to confront the church. So he has affirmed them in what they're doing. And then he goes on to confront them. And the challenge they face is life-threatening. It was hefty calling someone Jezebel. Perhaps it still is. She was one of the most manipulative characters of the Old Testament. Someone who combined the godly worship with the worship of Baal. So Jezebel was mixing things up, and she was a false prophet that then deceived many for twisting the words. And here in Thyatira, we know Christianity was heavily influenced by culture. The trades were connected to idolatry, and much of the town worked according to local custom, which worshipped commerce, much as we do today. Makes you think what Jesus might say to us as quarantine affects our own commerce. So whether Jezebel was a natural person or whether she symbolises the corruption that we might each lean towards with our culture, Jesus' challenge remains. Clear away our idols and ambitions, our temptations that lead us away from honouring our loving God. Stop these practices. So what seduces us away from his love? What do I give up my time, little by little, that leads me away from him? Here in Thyatira, were the business interests put before the gospel message? Were parts of the church trying to keep up with the Joneses alongside the new Christian message? A little bit of flirtation on the side can't harm anyone, can it? Well, here at New Hope, do we have idols that come before the worship of our crucified King? Do we speak more highly of what we do than what we are, for example? Are we unfaithful to Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds? Do we put ourselves down instead of being kind and gentle with who we are? Our idols in today's culture can be obvious. They can be money and status and my car that sits out there on the drive. More subtle idols of the church itself, the way we've always done things, the history we revere. Do we put certain people on pedestals? Or do we put what others think before? Do we put what others think before what God says about us? We are created in original goodness for his purposes of love. Do you hesitate to believe that God delights in you today? I personally used to put my good works as a humanitarian worker before God. The humanitarian in me was dividing up the temple courts. This side was for Jesus. This side is for me and Jesus. And it was a great way of covering up my lacking in terms of going deeper in relationship with our loving Father. All sides of the temple belong to Jesus in the first place. And I was mixing up the worship of knowledge of what I knew of the world with the worship of Jesus. And it doesn't quite work. In fact, it really stresses us out. And Jesus came to free us from these compromises. Quoting the life of Brian, "I am not the Messiah. I am the beloved of the Most High God. That is my identity." And what a relief. It took me a little time to realise that to give up all the ways I wanted life to be fixed was the freedom of life on the rock of Christ's love for me. I used to put pride in my family at the heart of who I was. I realised I was a little bit Jezebel-y, and that was a hard thing for me to face. The freedom that blows in when speaking truth is so much more than what I had with my pride. I feel more balanced for speaking openly about a beautiful but very tricky marriage to my lovely Matt, whom I love massively, who is a gift for me, but who struggles with Asperger's and with mental health challenge. And this means that we have a really forgiving and lovely, to be really forgiving and lovely to each other once in a while, because life is really not easy, is it? And freedom pours in too, as I'm humbled brilliantly by the disability that I carry in being unable to read and write and struggling to speak sometimes. You may have heard it in the last few minutes. And sometimes I'm definitely struggling now in the video calling and the messaging we're doing, as my brain tries to catch up with what life looks like in this current situation. The truth is so gorgeous now, because in my lovely failure, I have one God. So strip me bare of my idols, strip the church naked, and let's listen to Christ Jesus, who holds our gaze through life on his sure foundation. We don't need to erect any scaffolding of pride or victimhood, personal ambition or achievements. We can lie down in security on the immovable cornerstone that is Christ the Messiah, the home of our whole being, the temple of God. Is there anything that makes you hesitate to believe that God is delighted and pleased in you? Jezebel, be gone with your lies of where my identity might be placed. I am so much more as nothing in Christ Jesus, who is all. And no one can serve two masters. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Henry Nouwen puts this Jezebel conundrum like this. As long as I keep running about asking, do you love me? Do you really love me? I give all the power to the voices of the world. And the world says, yes, yes, I love you. If you're beautiful, I love you. Sorry. I love you if you're intelligent. I love you if you're wealthy. I love you if you have a good education and a good job. I love you if you produce much, sell much, and buy much. These ifs enslave me. What if I cannot satisfy the deepest craving of my heart? So back to the letter. Jesus gave Jezebel time to repent, and she did not repent. God gives us time to turn back to him. A lifetime to recognise the endless love and security he freely offers. Restoration in him. And she did not repent. Take advantage of his outstretched hand. Stop what we're doing. Down our tools. Consider our ways and decide if they align beautifully with the way of love, or if they align somewhat with the way of selfish desire or desire to meet other people's expectation. On the outside, Thyatira was a small but model church, showing good work, love, service, faith and perseverance. Yet there was significant corruption inside the church. It wasn't necessarily a large group following a corrupt path. It wasn't necessarily a large part of each person's character. However, tipping your hat towards money, labelling certain people in the church, gossip, slander, even expecting others to be more Christ-like. The influence Jezebel is allowed, even in the small stuff, means that she gets away with murder on the sly. Jesus addresses this as the path of spiritual adultery. They were unfaithful. Now, we are the body of evidence that Jesus lives. Are we displaying that evidence? Are we faithful? Are we hiding evidence of glory by the way we live? He tells us to hold fast to what we have until he comes. Jesus simply says, hold fast. And it reminds me of an anchor locked on a rock. Reminds me of Paul constantly saying, stand firm. So let's not be discouraged. Simply hold on and trust. Await the morning star to shine in the darkness of our hearts each dawn. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It appears to the wise men, the wise folk from the east, and it's a reminder of his royalty birthed new every morning. Jesus offers the reward of himself because he is the morning star. He has given himself for us, and the resurrection is offered here for us. We are called to follow him in this self-giving pattern through the death of our old selves into complete belonging with him. So, people who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This letter applies to everyone. How might Jesus lead us on the narrow path deeper into community with him? It applies to the faithful who need to hear. Just hold fast. You're doing great. Keep abiding in me, and we will come through this day. Christ brings the day with him into the soul, the light of grace and of glory. Let's live the lives in his glory, our lives for his glory, that we may overcome the trials and the fears of this day. The book of Revelation speaks into us. God is sovereign, and he invites us to join him. God is sovereign. All is well. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. He is preparing us, the bride, to be ready. The human soul is being readied for union with the divine, a marriage between God and creation. Beautiful. Jesus modelled this on earth and came to give us the courage to trust. He was preparing a room for each of us. There is room for each of us to sit in that love, to live each day, each hour, each moment as a new beginning, growing in awareness that God wants our whole lives. To return to God means that I need to move with all of me. And as we continue to grieve and struggle together, our posture humbled through this season, are we ready to hear the voice of love? To know the safety of God's delight in us? When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent and trust in the Lord. Let the light of his face shine on us. In peace we will lie down and sleep, for the Lord alone makes us dwell in safety. Amen. So bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Until that day when we can hug and with great tears of joy for the love we share. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, and his face shine upon you through this week and always. Amen. See you soon. Lots and lots of love.